Good evening and welcome to This Week in Football from the makers of Low Limit Football on the All In Sports Talk Network. I am your host, Joe Uccello, and tonight we are breaking down El Tri, Mexico, as they make their journey over to Russia for the 2018 World Cup. Joining me, as always, is my co-host, Mr. Roberto Rojas, and tonight, special guest, Mr. Tom Marshall, correspondent that covers the Mexican national team and Liga MX for ESPN FC, also frequently featured on the Mexican Soccer Show, which you can find them on YouTube. Gentlemen, thank you both for joining me tonight. Tom, I want to start out with questions to you. We've talked about this many times, and I've watched the Mexican Soccer Show plenty of times, and we've had you on the show, so I do know the answer to this question. But for our listeners, what are your ties to Mexican soccer, both Liga MX and the Mexican national team?
Yeah, hi Joe, hi Roberto. Thanks for the invite. I've been living in Guadalajara now a little bit over 9 years. Originally from near Manchester in England. So yeah, I've lived most of my adult life here in Mexico. My wife's Mexican, pretty much settled here now. Although obviously, it's been a while. But yeah, so I've been covering the Mexican national team for probably about the last 6 years. Since basically 2010, and especially in the last 3-4 years, I've been at pretty much every game the Mexican national team has played. So I've definitely, you know, followed this process from Brazil 2014 to Russia 2018 pretty closely.
Just jumping in, Tom, I obviously want to talk about the history of Mexico real quick. Obviously, it's a country that's actually has a rich history than a lot of countries in this World Cup. You know, they've had a consistent performance 16 times, making it out of the 21 World Cups. The only time that they haven't made it was 1934, 1938, 1974, 1982, and 1990, where they were actually banned due to an underage scandal where they used 4 overage players during the 1988 CONCACAF U20 tournament. But since then, they've qualified for, this will be now their 7th consecutive World Cup, if I'm not mistaken. If my math's correct, yes, that's right. And out of all the times that they've made of those six times in the World Cup, you know, they've progressed to the round of 16, and only twice have they advanced out of that, heading into the quarterfinals in 1970 and 1986, ironically, when they both hosted the World Cup on home soil. So my first question to you, Tom, is, you know, what has been this kind of obsession, I would say, from Mexican fans, or anything that you've been able to look into over the years that you've lived in Mexico, of this obsession of having to jump that big leap of getting out of the round of 16, something that's haunted them for, now it's 22 years. You know, what? Oh, actually, no, sorry, 24 years, even better. So I just want to know, like, what have you been able to take from that? And that whole reaction of not able to advance out of that stage.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just a psychological, almost weakness, that this is the barrier that psychologically you know, I think most people, obviously, this is a results-based, you know, football industry, and Mexico fans, like any other fans of any other national team, want to see progression. And I think since 94, you know, going out in the round of 16, every World Cup since then, it's kind of almost like the World Cup swings round. You know, Mexico get out of the group stage, which has been actually a really good achievement on a lot of occasions, and then fall at that first kind of knockout hurdle. So I think it's kind of just ingrained in, like, in the mentality of the Mexico fan that this is a country, this is a huge country that needs to take the next step. And that next step naturally requires, you know, reaching a quarter final. But I mean, I think there are different ways of looking at it. I mean, firstly, what I'd say is that, you know, only Germany and Brazil have got out of the group stage at the last six World Cups like Mexico has. So actually, it's amazing consistency that a team like Mexico has been able to get that far so often. You know, so I think that that needs to be pointed out, because I think in Mexico, it's always turned into a negative. And I think the consistency, like I said, is remarkable. But, you know, I think if you look at the Mexican football in terms of World Cups, for a lot of years, Mexico have been the best of the rest. And, you know, what do I mean by that? Well, if you look at the history of the World Cups, you know, the European teams generally do well. And it's, you know, they won the World Cup. And the South American teams, especially Brazil and Argentina of late, but historically Uruguay as well, have also done really well. And I think that no team has ever been able to break through that. You know, no team from CONCACAF, no team from Africa, no team from Asia. Now, in a single World Cup, obviously other nations have been able to, you know, reach a semi-final. You know, Costa Rica, the last World Cup, they were one penalty kick away from a semi-final themselves. So it's not impossible, but, you know, Mexico is always at that kind of just below that group. But, you know, to be honest, I think it's the fact Mexico's gone out of the round of 16 stage at the last, six World Cups is pretty much a fair reflection of, you know, where Mexican football's been at during those years. I mean, the Mexican national team is about, you know, number 16 in the world, and I don't think that's any different kind of going into this World Cup.
Right. Now, I want to take a step forward here and look at the qualification, how they got to the 2018 World Cup. And actually, Rob, I want to open the question to you. I want to ask you a quick question before I turn my questions over to Tom. This Mexican side obviously qualified first overall in CONCACAF, a far cry from 4 years ago, where they had to go and play in the play-in matches to actually qualify into 2014 into Brazil. Definitely got off to a better start, erasing the 2-0 ghosts that they had coming into the United States and playing a qualifier with a 2-1 victory in Columbus on match day one, if you remember correctly, Rob. The confidence that this Mexican side have, will that serve them well going into Russia, knowing you know that they really performed the way they should have this time around for qualifying?
I think 2014 was perhaps a consequence of their over arrogance that they've had, you know, and rightly so. You know, they've always been the top team in the continent for various decades, and I think 2014 was, you know, that kind of fear that they had, like, wait a minute, you know, maybe we shouldn't start overreacting, we shouldn't start being too arrogant of ourselves and demonstrate that we are the best, because we almost didn't make a World Cup that time, and if it wasn't for the United States, we wouldn't be in this World Cup in this situation. So obviously, I think fast forward 4 years, you know, they were able to improve and learn. I think when you have such a pragmatic manager like Juan Carlos Osorio, who was able to really help this side, okay, maybe he's been very criticized by the Mexican media, like a lot of managers that has ever managed the national team. You know, I think he's been able to find that cohesiveness and really develop a really good side. But I don't think this time around it shouldn't be a problem. I mean, obviously, we'll talk about the group in a few minutes and how they'll be able to manage that. But I think looking at it more into a broader aspect, yeah, I think they are prepared. And I don't think that arrogance is coming back to them. Although they did lose just one game and they won six and drew three, I still believe that they were able to be strong enough and I think confident enough heading into this World Cup.
True. And, you know, I think as American fans, we're all kind of mad about Mexico losing that one match, because losing that one match actually cost the U.S. the World Cup. Tom, I want to look back on their qualification just one more moment. Obviously finishing first in CONCACAF, like they said, they only lost one match, which was a 3-2 loss to Honduras on the last day. But by then, their ticket was punched to Russia, so it was inconsequential to the Mexican national team. This team, for all the scoring power they had, they finished second in goal scoring in CONCACAF, one goal behind the United States. But what was impressive to me was the 16 goals that they scored during World Cup qualifying were spread out by 11 players, and their top scorer was Irving Lozano with 3 goals. This was the best defensive side, however, though. They only conceded 7 goals in the 10 matches they played in the hexagonal. So, Tom, my question to you is, from the lessons of qualification that they learned playing a difficult Costa Rica side, you know, erasing the memories of the United States and even eliminating them from the World Cup, what part of the qualification will serve them better in Russia? The fact that they were a top defensive side, or the fact that they were a high-scoring and diverse offensive side?
It's a difficult one. I mean, honestly, I think that, you know, I think obviously qualifying this time around was massive for the national team, for the federation. And obviously you look back at 2014 and, you know, the number one goal when Juan Carlos Osorio came in was, we can't have a repeat of almost not making the World Cup. And, you know, CONCACAF's obviously very difficult. Whether the defence, you know, or the attack was better, you know, I think Mexico probably should have scored more goals. I don't think Javier Hernandez got as many as he would have liked. And you know, the defence was generally good. But, you know, I don't want to not answer the question, but I just feel like it kind of sums up the problem that Mexico has had traditionally. You know, Mexico in the last qualifying, you know, they lost the last game. They very nearly went unbeaten. You know, I think they slacked off towards the end as well. But it's almost like Mexico's all fine in the CONCACAF region. It's just stepping up. And I think that's the you know, it's difficult to go to places like Panama, Honduras, Columbus, Trinidad, and kind of play away. And I think what Osorio did was, especially defensively, I think he organized his team. I think he's tactically a lot more shrewd than perhaps former Mexico managers, in terms of, he went there with kind of a lot of kind of humility in terms of his tactics. And, you know, he'd go to Trinidad and he'd play 2 centre backs and then 2 holding midfielders that are predominantly centre backs. So you know, and that stopped Trinidad being able to attack efficiently. And then they go and sneak the win over there. So I think there's, you know, I think Osorio should take a lot of credit for what went on in qualifying. But I do think that then when you look at it, how could it affect the World Cup? It's difficult to say. I mean, maybe in terms of confidence, what Mexico did in Columbus, Ohio against the United States. I mean, I think that was an absolutely key game for this Mexican national team, for Juan Carlos Osorio. Let's not forget that it was only a few months before that Mexico got beaten 7-0 by Chile in the Copa America quarterfinal. And so basically at that point, it was kind of, Osorio was very, very close to getting fired. Most people at that time would have fired him, I think, but the federation kind of held on. And I think that win in the United States was just a massive boost of authority for Osorio. And then ever since then, Mexico kind of, you know, kind of rolled through that. There've been hiccups. Obviously the Gold Cup wasn't great. The 4-1 defeat to Germany in the Confederations Cup was heavily criticized as well. But in general, I think from that win in Columbus, we've seen Mexico kind of, you know, I think it's shown an identity. I think that Osorio knows that, you know, he's got a core group of players that are behind him. And yeah, I think that's what I'd mainly take from the qualifying. The fact that Osorio adapted to different situations and it worked and the players bought into his idea.
Now, of course, we're going into the nitty-gritty, and obviously look at that group that they get in the World Cup. As it follows, they were grouped with the reigning world champions and a team that they did face in the Confederation Cup, as you mentioned, Tom. In Germany, they got mentioned. They also got in a group with Sweden, a team that was infamously known for knocking out Italy of a World Cup, and South Korea, a powerhouse in Asia. Now, if I recall, after the draw, you know, Juan Carlos Osorio said it would be a great opportunity for Mexican soccer to be drawn in a group with Germany. And obviously, you know, as you mentioned, that 4-1 loss in the Confederation Cup last year, I think it's time that revenge is going to be made for this Mexican side. I would like to say so, but, you know, just honestly, you know, do you still feel that game against Germany? And I'll go in order real quick. They'll take on Germany first on the 17th, followed by South Korea on the 23rd, and finish it off with Sweden on the 27th. Do you still feel that that Mexico game is that Germany game much more important, even after what's happened to them in previous years, even their history as well? You know, Mexico has never beaten Germany in a competitive game. Do you feel that that's still the most important game in this group, or do you view another game because of this significant factor being much more important to this Mexican side? You know, what's your take on this group, Tom?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously the Germany game is massive. I think it's important Mexico don't get rolled over. You know, they give a good account of themselves. And at the end of the day, you look at this group, and for me, it's a difficult one to predict because Sweden are a good team. You know, they got past Italy to make the World Cup. So, you know, let's not rule them out. And then you look at Korea and you look at the, you know, the Tottenham forward Son. I mean, if he's on form, then they can also provide an upset. You know, they could easily, you know, beat Sweden. And, you know, Sweden could easily get a draw against Germany because of the, I think, because of the style. So I think you've got to take that into consideration as well, that this could come down to goal difference in terms of second place. But yeah, I mean, Germany, for me, it's a you know, extremely difficult game for Mexico, and it, as it would be for any other team in the tournament, by the way. I mean, I think Germany is, you know, it's the favourites for this tournament for a reason, because they're a, you know, exceptionally good team. You know, maybe don't have the Messi, maybe they don't have the Ronaldo, but in terms of a unit, in terms of the amount of time they've been working under the same manager, they've got this identity, players step up, like we saw in the Confederations Cup, where, you know, they basically took a B team and still won it. So yeah, I mean, they're a major power. And I agree with Osorio, you have to look at it as a challenge. I mean, Osorio was saying on TV the other night, I mean, that the challenge to his players in that Germany game is go and make history. You know, we're at a World Cup, this is the biggest stage. For me, this is one of the most interesting games of, you know, the first few days of the World Cup, without doubt. And I think the Mexican players can go there. You know, we saw them play Belgium last November, go without fear, took the game to Belgium and did well with a 3-3 draw. And I think Mexico can do the same against Germany. Obviously, the worry is that defensively, and if Mexico push forward too much, then Germany on the transition are lethal, like we saw at the Confederations Cup. But I think Mexico can give a good account of themselves. And then moving forward, I mean, you look at the second game against South Korea, I think it's a game Mexico can win. I think that obviously Son, like I said, the Tottenham player, is a good player. They've got a few players in Germany now, so it's definitely not going to be a walkover. But I think stylistically, it's a team that, you know, you'd back Mexico against. You know, another technical team that works really hard. But I think Mexico have a little bit extra quality. And really, it's the last game that I think is going to be... is going to be crucial. And I mean, I know that's going to be the same for a lot of nations, but I mean, this game against Sweden is the one where, you know, I don't think people give Sweden the kind of, I don't know, the credit, or the, you know, they don't look up to Sweden like they look up to a Germany. And, you know, maybe that's valid, but I just think this Swedish team, how defensively organized they are, their abilities in the air, you know, the way they keep it so compact, I think they're going to make it really difficult for Mexico to break them down. Traditionally, Mexico struggled in those games. And so Osorio's going to think long and hard about, you know, how he's going to unlock that Swedish defence if Mexico does actually need a victory in that game, as you expect them to. So, I'd say in order of, most difficult, obviously the Germany and then Sweden and then finally South Korea.
Definitely. It's a really tough task for any of these teams, actually. And now, Joe, I'll pose the same question to you, but also add a little bit of devil's advocate. You know, we as Tom mentioned, you know, Juan Carlos Osorio had that idea of heading into this game as trying to make history, and that being Mexico beating Germany for the first time ever. But there's also the case that, you know, many people want to point this as the group of death because of the quality of all these teams in this group. So my question to you is, with obviously getting your reactions heading in, at least from a Mexican perspective, heading into this group, but kind of a devil's advocate question, you know, which one do you see much more likely happening? Mexico winning this group and beating Germany, or even, you know, an unthinkable situation that we haven't seen in many, many years, you know, given the consistency that Mexico had, you know, get eliminated in the group stage?
Sure. I think it's a tough question to pick. I mean, You could easily see it going, but I think it's more likely that Mexico get eliminated from the group, strictly because of the quality of Sweden defensively. Like Tom, you had said, and we did our Sweden preview recently. It is they're incredibly well organized. You got to remember this team. That team held Italy scoreless over 180 minutes to get into this World Cup. There is no doubting their abilities defensively to pack 10 men behind the ball and defend well. And they also have that height advantage over many, many teams, which is going to prove difficult to break down. Now can Mexico break that down? Yes, of course they can. Quick-footed, there are plenty of very, very fast players on the team that I think Mexico can overwhelm a Swedish team with their team speed. But beating winning the group over Germany, I think is less likely strictly on the quality of Germany. Rob, you and I have talked about this a few times. Germany can field a B team or a C team that you could actually say might have a potential to win this World Cup. That's how deep this German side is. I think looking at it as to the most important match for Mexico in this tournament, I don't think it's wrong for Osorio to go out and try and chase the Germany game, provided you feel like Mexico will not win the Germany game, because there is that glimmer of hope. My father's always said in Italian, you know, the ball is round. A palla torna. The ball is round, meaning it can bounce any way. And if fortune favors the foolish, and Mexico do chase the game and try to apply pressure to a German side that is certainly capable of scoring goals, certainly capable of defending, but maybe, just maybe, that ball bounces funny once, and that's all you need for Mexico to either A, draw the match, or even B, win the match. And then we're having a different conversation on match day two in this group. I think Mexico, like you had said, Tom, quality-wise, is ahead of South Korea. I think we'll win that match. So for me, the most important match in this group for Mexico is going to be that Sweden match, because we're going to be looking at goal differentials at that point. We're going to be looking at head-to-head. And Mexico is certainly capable, with the talent that they have, of beating the Swedish side and finishing at least second in the group, if not possibly winning. But I think the likelihood of them not advancing is more likely than the likelihood of them actually beating Germany and winning the group. So, but how are they going to do that? Let's look at the players. Let's move to the next second and look at the players to watch. And I want to open with somebody who has been ultra impressive, or was ultra impressive in the Mexican League, Tom, and then took his talents to PSV, and that is Chucky Lozano. Led this team in goal scoring for World Cup qualifying with 3 goals. I want to get your opinion on his progression so far in PSV, and has he taken that next step in his advancement of his career?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's, you know, there's a group of young Mexican players who, are all pretty talented, but a lot of them have moved within Mexico. The likes of Orbelín Pineda, who went from Querétaro to Chivas, Rodolfo Pizarro, who went from Pachuca to Chivas as well. And Irving Lozano, you know, did for me what was the natural and the right step by, you know, going from Pachuca, where he'd achieved everything. He'd won a league title. You know, he was scoring goals so often. He was, you know, he was just, in the end, he was just getting fouled a lot because people couldn't stop him. And so he needed a new challenge. He needed, you know, a different, working under a different coach, different system, different kind of culture of playing the game, of understanding the game. And I think that's, you know, something that I think Mexican players have lacked historically. But Lozano's taken all that on board. I think he just loves playing. I just think put him on the field and he just absolutely feels at home. You know, he's already married. He's got a couple of kids. He's kind of settled off the field as well, which I think really helps. I think PSV have been really good with him in terms of, you know, helping him settle in Eindhoven. Providing people to sit his pets, for example, when he's away on international duty, so his wife can also go. I mean, little things like that, I think, really do help. He's a big player for Mexico. You know, this is somebody for me who's a potential breakout star for the World Cup. I think that he showed against Belgium last November that, you know, he's not scared. I mean, I think if there's one defining feature of Lozano, he's brave. You know, he's not afraid of anything. He goes at players. You know, he'll throw himself at the ball. He doesn't seem to have that fear within him to perform on the big stage. And, you know, every point in his career where he's been challenged, you know, by a new level, you know, playing, you know, for example, breaking into the Pachuca national Pachuca first team, scored on his debut in the Estadio Azteca, goes to the national team, makes an immediate impact, and then straight away he's part of the squad, and then goes to PSV, bang, starts banging in goals, top scorer in the Dutch first division. I mean, at every point he's matched the expectations. So yeah, big player for Mexico, Lozano. Really looking forward to what he can do at the World Cup. And you know, you look at something like the Germany game, and you know, it's something that's a game that Lozano can really make a name for himself on. Yeah. And you know, I wouldn't bet against him doing that.
No. And I'm glad you described him as a seasoned veteran for the most part, because my next question to you is actually about the seasoned veteran on this team and his status, and that is Rafa Márquez. He has an opportunity here to captain his fifth World Cup team and only be the third player in history to appear in five World Cups, which is an amazing feat and a testament to his career. But his status is a little bit in jeopardy. So my question to you is he going to make this World Cup side? Is he going to be in Russia in this summer?
Well, you know, certainly according to, you know, the reports and the way people are talking, you know, his club Atlas are confident that he's going to be there. For example, Juan Carlos Osorio has basically said, you know, if he gets his legal convocations and if people don't remember, then in August he was named by the US government for having kind of financial links with a drug trafficking organization, which is not good. Yeah. And then from then he's kind of battled legally to kind of clear his name. And, you know, I think people within Mexico are really sympathetic to his cause. I mean, I'm not making a judgment on whether that's right or wrong, but I think people are really willing him to the World Cup. And I think the thing about Rafa Márquez that people have to understand is that he's of massive importance to Mexican football for what he's achieved with Barcelona and, you know, with the national team. And, you know, if he can make that World Cup, then I think Juan Carlos Osorio is going to pick him. I mean, I think legally, there's still things that need to be cleared up. You know, I'm not really sure how kind of happy FIFA are going to be, for example. I mean, if Mexico's captain at the World Cup, you know, he's still under, you know, and has been accused of kind of links to a drug trafficking organisation. I'm not sure FIFA will be delighted, for example, you know, if he comes to speak in a press conference with all the sponsors behind. I mean, it's little things like that that made me think, you know, is it actually going to happen? But I think definitely from the Mexican side, I think people are doing everything they can so that he'll be in Russia this summer.
Sure, sure. Now, one more question about, I guess, a quote-unquote controversial player, and really this player controversial in the United States, and that is Jonathan Gonzalez, who made the one-time switch now from the U.S. men's national team to the Mexican national team. Does Jonathan Gonzalez make the final 23 players to travel to Russia?
Honestly, I think right now I don't think he's going to be involved because, you know, there's just too much competition. You know, I think he's done amazingly well since he made his debut last July for Monterrey. Just to be in the national team picture and then obviously moving over from the United States to Mexico, I think that was a big moment. I think that for Mexico fans, especially in the United States, it was, you know, I think they were delighted at seeing a kid who's brought up in California. You kind of choose Mexico over the United States. But in terms of, he still has quite a lot to do. And Monterrey aren't playing very well. Let's see how he does in the March friendlies. I think he needs to do something big. But you know, he's another a bit like Lozano, that, you know, so far, and it's even earlier in his career than it is with Lozano, so far when you've put him on the big stage, when you've played him in the Liga MX final, you know, for Monterrey against Tigres, he's done it, he's performed. So I think that really, you know, he says a lot about his personality, and I'm sure that he's going to give absolutely everything to be in there. I just think that you look at the Mexico midfield spots and you think, you know, if Jonathan Dos Santos is fit, you know, Guardado, Herrera, Marco Fabian, because I think that's where, I think Osorio sees Jonathan Gonzalez in kind of one of the more attacking midfield roles. Then, you know, I think it's going to be difficult for him. But yeah, I think he's more one for the future, to be honest.
Sure, sure. Now, Rob, before I turn the controls over to you, I do have one more question, and I want to ask you this question, Rob, first. And that is Juan Carlos Osorio. I know we're looking at players, but every once in a while we'll preview a team that has a manager that is definitely worth talking about, and Osorio certainly fits that bill. Recently rejected, as far as I know, a renewal of his contract with the Mexican Federation. My question to you, Rob, is does that become a distraction as we go through the paces heading up to the 2018 World Cup?
I think knowing the history of Mexican coaches in World Cups and their processos, I would say no, I don't think so. Because with the certain exception of a few managers, you know, many Mexican managers tend to leave after a big tournament, you know, with the exception of Miguel Herrera, who was there until 2015, you know, you saw Javier Aguirre, you've seen Ricardo La Golpe, you know, those types of, you know, Hugo Sanchez as well for a time as well, you know, you see that experience of managers, especially, and I think in a cutthroat culture like Mexico and the criticism that the media usually gets to whoever is the manager, you know, I think that won't serve as a distraction knowing that perhaps we've already seen this story before and how, you know, exactly that kind of thing works. I mean, personally, and this is from my experience, and Tom, you could correct me if I'm wrong as well, you know, I think many people, you know, it's weird because you really always kind of see, and I want to ask you this as well, you know, Tom, you know, do you feel that Mexico is probably the only country in the world that is like so cutthroat to their managers that, you know, they don't even have the chance to really express themselves? I mean, you know, obviously he's had a good record, 29 wins, 8 draws, 6 losses, 67% percentage, and that's one of the best, I think, in Mexican history. You know, what's your take on just the whole reaction that the Mexican media has been given to, I guess, a pragmatic manager like Juan Carlos Osorio?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's difficult. I think that it comes down to perspective. And I think what happens in Mexico is, and I don't think it's just exclusive to Mexico. You know, I think, for example, in Brazil, the intensity is incredible. In England, it's the same. But I think the difference in Mexico is the perspective. Because I think in the Mexican media, it's almost like, you know, that Mexico's actually a massive team. And I don't mean that with any disrespect, because I think kind of off the field, in terms of shirt sales, in terms of, you know, media interest, I think Mexico is one of the biggest national teams in the world. But if you look at what's happened on the field throughout a number of years and even generations, it's not been. You know, it's never been a team that has threatened to win a World Cup, that has threatened to get us to a semi-final. I mean, I think it's a team that's respected, that has really good players and traditionally has had good players and plays really good football. I think Mexico is very respected for that. But in terms of a team that can go out and do damage and that, you know, a Brazil or a Spain or a Germany is going to be scared of, I don't think Mexico has managed that. But I think within Mexico, there's the feeling that Mexico is a massive team and that it can go up against these nations. And I think that's where the kind of perspective is lost within Mexico. And that's why you look at someone like Osorio, and like you said, Roberto, with his record that he's got, you know, the way they qualified for the World Cup. I mean, I was watching a Mexican TV show the other night, and the presenter, just the first thing he said was like, "I don't agree with Osorio. I don't like Osorio." And he's interviewing Osorio. Like, Osorio's in front of him. I'm just thinking, Osorio, he must be going inside. He must be fuming. And then, you know, and then he says, basically, clear, the presenter said, "Oh, you know, Mexico should be walking through CONCACAF qualifying anyway." Well, you know what? The United States just didn't qualify. You know, it's not as easy these days to get through, not just in CONCACAF, but, you know, Chile didn't make it. And the, you know, two-time Copa America champion, you know, Italy didn't make it from Europe. I mean, it's... You know, the gap is shrinking in terms of the big teams and the smaller teams. But yeah, I think within Mexico, that's been Osorio's problem. And it's something that Osorio has, you know, maybe could have managed a little bit better, because he has been very critical in saying certain things that maybe he didn't need to say. For example, you know, demanding that more players go to Europe. I think he's, you know, it's fair for him to say that, but he said it so kind of often and so with such force that I think people don't like that within Mexico as well. But on the other hand, I think what we have to point out as well, just on that quick point, is that this is going to be a historic World Cup for Mexico, because it's going to be the first time ever that a Mexican squad that goes to a World Cup is going to have the majority of the players playing outside of Mexico. I think in the last World Cup it was 9. I think this time it's going to be, you know, obviously, let's hopefully there won't be injuries, but, you know, it's going to be 14, 15, 16. So, you know, that's something that I think is pretty important to point out as well.
Yeah, it's the effects of globalization, and we've seen that in various national teams as well. So, yeah, I totally agree with you as well. Now, heading into prediction, obviously, I want to play devil's advocate just a little bit once more and look at this perspective, because we all know that this group for Mexico is really tough. I think for all the countries, it's tough heading into this group F, but for Mexico, it is tough. In a devil's advocate world, there is the possibility that Mexico could get knocked out of the group stage and would essentially be a fracaso, you know, a failure for this Mexican side. Tom, I just want to ask you this, of course, you know, what would be the perception for this Mexican side, you know, being so talented in itself to really fall flat on their face and get out early from this World Cup? And number two, knowing that Osorio isn't going to take charge after the World Cup, you know, who would be able to take care of this sunken ship? Or even then, you know, who do you see as the favorite to replace Osorio after the World Cup?
Yeah, no, it's interesting. I think, first of all, if Mexico doesn't get out of the group, it's complete failure. If Mexico gets to the round of 16, it's kind of very disappointing. And if Mexico gets to the quarterfinal, it's like party time for the whole country. That's how kind of, you know, how on a knife edge this is for the Mexican national team. But and in terms of Osorio, he said that, you know, if things go well, he would like to continue. So, you know, I wouldn't 100% rule out, you know, Osorio being there. But I think what we've seen this time in the last few years from the Mexican Federation, and we'll have to see, because after the World Cup, there's going to be a new president, Yonder Luisa is coming in for De Ciudad Maria. But if Guillermo Cantú, I think he's the key figure within the Federation, because he basically hired Osorio. And so if Guillermo Cantú's there, you know, and bearing in mind that Osorio's already been offered a contract, so what that tells me is that Cantú and the Mexican Federation like what they've seen. They like Osorio as a manager, and they like what he's done on the field and the background. And so it tells me that if Osorio doesn't carry on, they're going to want a manager similar to Osorio. You know, they're not going to go for kind of Miguel Herrera again. You know, it tells me that they're going to go for someone who's got a little bit more depth, a little bit more, you know, maybe worldliness. That, you know, let's not forget that, like I said, the majority of these Mexican players are playing outside the country. You've got people like Héctor Moreno, who, you know, they played under Louis van Gaal. They played under Pochettino. Chicharito played under Ancelotti, played under Ferguson. And I think those kind of Mexican players these days, they want a kind of manager who doesn't have to have a big name, but who's modern, who's kind of got modern working methods. And I think Osorio, that's what he's brought to the table. So, I mean, I'd like to see, you know, we'll see how Argentina do, but I'd like to see Sampaoli. I think he'd be really close to the top of the list. You know, personally, I'd be massively intrigued to see if Mexico could entice Bielsa. You know, I think that what he did with Chile was amazing. I think that obviously it's difficult, someone like Bielsa, in terms of, you know, the last couple of jobs that he's done, it's not gone well. I think he needs the conditions to be absolutely perfect. And obviously, he's been in Mexico before, and he fell out with Televisa. And Televisa have quite a big say. The new president of the federation is coming straight from Televisa. So I'm not sure how much it'd work out. But I just think, style-wise, someone like Bielsa, I think he could get the most out of, you know, the Mexican players. I think that, you know, the work ethic of the Mexican players right now, the technical ability, and the fact that I think they've got a group of players and the new generation coming through that are just so desperate to do something for the country. And I think that's why someone like Bielsa would be great. But we'll see. It'll probably be Miguel Herrera again.
Yeah, no, but, you know, just as a quick question before I run to the final round of questioning, what about Tuca Ferretti? He came in between Herrera and Osorio as a kind of a caretaker manager, obviously went back to Tigres, but has had one of the better teams in Liga MX the entire time. So what about Tuca Ferretti? Why isn't he an option?
I think Osorio actually was saying the other day that if he was to pick, well, he was only given like 3-4 names. He was saying, you know, which one of these 3-4 names would you pick? And he picked Ferretti. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the problem with Ferretti, and Ferretti has said this week, he said that he doesn't want the job. And he's repeated on many occasions he doesn't want the job. Honestly, for me, I think he's done well with Tigres. His record speaks for itself in terms of trophies. I do think he's old school though.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think he's at the cutting edge. And I don't know. I mean, obviously this is only kind of my opinion, and, you know, definitely other people will disagree. And obviously, you know, it's a good debate. But I just think Ferretti's all his managerial career has been in Mexico. And I think what Mexican football needs, going back to what we were saying before about, you know, the European, the South American nations being the ones who are the protagonists in the World Cup, being the ones who are reaching the semis, the finals consistently. I think Mexico needs to kind of feed into that kind of knowledge, basically, as much as possible. And I think part of that is bringing in a top manager. And I think another big part of that is exporting players to the very best teams. And you know, if possible, the teams that are in the Champions League, which is obviously the very top, the very top of the world game in terms of ideas, in terms of how teams prepare, in terms of how tactical awareness. I mean, I think Mexican players need to plug into that kind of knowledge and then bring that back to the Mexican national team for El Tri at the end of the day to really make that step up to be a top nation.
Yep. Now let's get into the final couple of questions that we ask all our guests on these preview shows. Looking ahead to the 2018 World Cup, looking at the difficult group that they have and the challenge they have in Group F, what would be a reasonable expectation for the Mexican national team in this particular World Cup?
I think round of 16. I think that's, you know, I think that would be fair. I think, you know, Mexico right now are number 17 in the world. So I think if they reach the round of 16, that would be kind of the par. And the other thing is, you know, if Mexico finished second in the group, it looks likely that they'd play Brazil in the round of 16. Mm-hmm. And you wouldn't bat Mexico against Brazil right now because obviously Brazil going forward are ridiculous, especially if Neymar's fully fit. So, I mean, I'd say round of 16. I think Mexico should be getting out of the group. I think they will. You know, I can see them beating Korea. I can see them beating Sweden as well, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I think this group of players, I think Mexico got a starting, a core group of players that are all in the prime, they're all playing Europe, they've kind of been through the last World Cup, they've been through a 7-0 defeat against Chile, they've been through some really tough times with the Mexican national team, but I see, you know, I travel around this team and I see a real focus, and I see a manager in Juan Carlos Osorio who has a little bit more than I think Mexican managers have traditionally had. I know he's been criticised heavily, but I just think this is someone who studies the game, that he's not stupid. And I think he can bring an extra kind of little bit of depth to this Mexican national team that maybe someone like Miguel Herrera didn't have. Because we saw Mexico against the Netherlands in the round of 16 4 years ago. And for me, you know, Mexico were the better team for most of that game. But then a few tactical adjustments from Luis Van Gaal and Mexico basically went downhill. You know, with Herrera taking off, Giovanni Dos Santos putting in Javier Aquino, changing the system, dropping back, and kind of ceding the initiative to the Netherlands. I think Osorio is a little bit shrewder than someone like Herrera would be in that situation.
Okay. Now, I'm glad you described the round of 16 as par for the course for them, using the golf term, because my final question is, I guess, the ultimate double eagle or hole in one on the par three. What would winning the World Cup mean to the team, the players, the coaches, and the people of Mexico?
I think more than anything, it's about the people, because, you know, Mexico's a country that, you know, like I said, I've lived here for 9 years, and, you know, whenever you type in Mexico on Google, then it's mainly negative. You know, it's negative news. There's been a lot of stuff about the drug war, you know, the corruption, you know, stuff going on in the background. And then amidst all this kind of thing, you've got the normal Mexican people who, you know, who deserve a little bit of, you know, joy, I think. And I think winning the World Cup would put Mexico on the map for something really positive and really good and something that people can celebrate. And I think that in terms of, you know, nations that deserve kind of a little bit of a positivity, I'd say Mexico is right up there. So, yeah, I'd say for the people, that's the number one thing. And then obviously, you know, for the coach, the players, I mean, it's just in eternal kind of legend status. I mean, it would be, they would instantly become enshrined as, you know, some of the greatest Mexicans in history. I don't think that's an exaggeration.
Do you think they renew Osorio after that?
They might do. They might think about it.
Yeah, right. I agree.
So, I mean, that's going to be the funny thing, because I think we're seeing it now. Even, you know, now because Osorio, you know, he's been giving interviews in Europe. It's quite clear that if Juan Carlos Osorio wants to manage in Europe, then there'd be teams interested. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying Real Madrid, Barcelona, even a Premier League team, but you know, there's no doubt in my mind that if Juan Carlos Osorio talks to Spanish team, La Liga teams lower down the table, goes to Holland, then he'll get a job. I mean, this is a guy who's fluent in English as well, well-travelled, can talk really well about the game, presents himself well. So, I mean, it's just interesting to see the reaction of that back in Mexico, where all of a sudden I feel like since Osorio's been, you know, to meet Sir Alex Ferguson, to meet Luis Van Gaal, to meet Hiddink, I think the reaction in Mexico is almost like, it's almost a bit of jealousy. It's almost like, oh, you know, is he leaving us? You know, we've criticised him so much, and now he's kind of leaving us. So it's, I don't know, it's a kind of interesting state of affairs.
No doubt about it. Tom and Rob, I want to thank both you gentlemen for joining me tonight and helping me break down El Tri as they make their journey to Russia for the 2018 World Cup. So again, this was the Mexico World Cup preview on This Week in Football from the makers of Low Limit Football on the All In Sports Talk Network. I am your host, Joe Uccello. Thanks for listening, and good night.